Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to At Home with Victoria, a news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network with your host and TV journalist, Victoria Gaither, and entertainment co-host, Michael Kay. Now, here's Victoria.
Good evening and welcome to At Home with Victoria. I am your host, Victoria Gaither, and I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join me tonight on the show. Well, we've got a couple of things that's going on tonight on the show. In a few minutes, we are supposed to talk with Terrain Lynch and C. Santos of Enchanting Women Foundation about a new program that those ladies are working on called Butterflies. Terrain and C have been on At Home with Victoria before, so the two of them are no stranger to the program. And Terrain had mentioned to me about a couple of weeks ago that she was very excited about this program called Butterflies. And Butterflies, I know, is a program under Enchanting Women Foundation where they basically try to help younger girls, and it's a youth advocacy program with Enchanting Women Foundation. So what they really want to do is to try to inspire girls to be physically and mentally strong and also to help them become better leaders in society as they grow through their teenage years and get into high school, because all of us know that those years are very difficult for all of us, especially girls being teenagers. So Terrain and C are supposed to be on the show to talk about that, so we're still waiting for them to call in. In the event that they don't call in, because, you know, sometimes things could happen, we're going to continue on with the program, and I will tell you a little bit more about Butterflies as I know a little bit about what they're trying to do with that myself. And also, inside the chat room, I do have the link for Enchanting Women Foundation, where you're more than welcome to go on and read more and also learn how you can help with that program. Now, the second part of the show, we're going to talk with writer and director Steve Silverman and actor Michael Taylor Gray on a new segment called News Crunch. Now, News Crunch is a segment that I had been thinking about that I wanted to do probably for almost a year. It almost got off the ground a year ago, but a few things happened, so we weren't able to do it. But now I decided that I wanted to go ahead and try to do it. So basically what News Crunch is, it's going to be a monthly segment, and it may, in fact, how successful it is, turns into a show that we do two or three times out of a month. And we're going to talk about national headlines, and we're going to talk about national newsmakers, and we are going to have either a journalist, a writer, or a director on the show, and then we're going to have a third person. Now, the third person can be from any walk of life. They could have any type of background. It could be a mom. It could be a dad, a teacher, principal, a salesperson. It could be, you know, anybody that basically has a voice and who loves news and who likes to weigh in on conversation. So I'm very excited about News Crunch, and at about 15 or 20 minutes after the hour, that's when we're going to start News Crunch. And I thought that this week was appropriate to start News Crunch because if you have been watching any news, then all of you know that politicians and sex scandals have completely just dominated the news airwaves on cable and also our national news, as well as your local news as well. So I thought that it would be a great idea to kick off News Crunch, where we can talk about politician and sex scandals. And I was thinking as I was putting the show together, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that, that I know former California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger was probably a little happy that he came out of the news with his scandal problem and kind of turned the reins over to Congressman Anthony Weiner. So I'm looking forward to talking about that. Steve Silverman, many of you probably already know him. Steve is the director and the writer, and he is also with the series web series Pretty. So that's why a lot of you know Steve Silverman. And Steve's always got many, many things going on, so we are looking forward to hearing Steve weigh in on the matter. At least I'm really looking forward to hearing Steve weigh in on the matter. Steve also works for Fox Broadcasting, and I think he's working on a new project with www.gomanmagazine.com. So Steve Silverman's going to tell us more about that. And then the third person out on News Crunch tonight is going to be actor Michael Taylor Gray, who is also very good friends with Steve Silverman. In fact, Michael Taylor Gray is also in the web series Pretty, so I'm sure he's going to talk to us not only about his thoughts and weigh in on politicians and sex scandals, but he is also going to tell us about what is new and exciting inside his life. So that's what the show is going to be about. I am very excited about it. I want to thank all of you that are visiting with us so far inside of the chat room. We've got Kath in there. We've got Mar and also Michael Kay, who many of you know him. He's my entertainment co-host as well as producer. So I'm looking forward to that as well. And as I do that, I am going to just give you a little bit of information about Butterflies. Again, Butterflies is with the Enchanting Women Foundation. It's a youth advocacy program. And I have the information inside the chat room, but if you just Google Enchanting Women, then you'll be able to get more information about them. But again, Butterflies is a program that is really looking to help young women better themselves, not only help young women better themselves, but become better leaders within the community to learn how to speak, to learn how to dress, and just to learn how they should be able to, you know, to be in communities, and also if they find themselves in situations, what they're able to do in those situations. So I think that's a good program, and of course, anything that helps our young people, I am definitely all for that. So that's something that I am excited about. So, again, we do have that information inside the chat room itself, and all you've got to do is go on to Google enchanting/women.com, and that information and the website will come up. And also what's interesting about the website is that you're now able to give donations, and they've got Ms. Lynch has got so many wonderful programs that she's got going on over there. So I think if you're looking for something for your kids to do this summer, I think that may also be something that you may want to consider. And that program is based in the Washington, D.C. area. So I'm just really happy because, like I said, if you've got anything that you want to do, I think that that is going to be great in order for you to do that. And also, as we talk about youth and as we talk about teenagers, I wanted to mention Shannon. Shannon is one of our faithful fans who listens to At Home with Victoria from the United Kingdom. And entertainment co-host Michael Kay told me last week when he was doing his show and I wasn't able to be with him, that he got many, many exclusives, and then one of the exclusives that he got was that Shannon was going to be auditioning for the British version of America's Got Talent. So I was super, super happy about that and very happy to hear that she was going to do that because she's just got just an incredible, incredible voice. And I think I want to play one of her songs. I think this is her song. I may have it written down wrong inside my files, but I'm going to go ahead and play this song because this right here will give you an idea of what Shannon actually sounds like. And there's also her best friend who is also singing this song with her.
Don't say love. Some say love
I think that Ms. Shannon definitely has a chance at getting her foot in the door for the British version of America's Got Talent. So I'm looking forward to Shannon and that, and also I think she's going to keep us posted in a little bit more on that. So I see that some of my guests are already on the line for our News Crunch segment, so I'm going to go ahead and move the program along so that we can go ahead and get started with that. And I had mentioned to you guys a little bit earlier that I'm actually emailing back and forth with my original guest at the top of the show who was supposed to be here, and there was a little bit confusion, so I'll talk a little bit more about that later. But we do have the information to enchantingwomen.com inside the chat room, and also you can Google them, and I do believe I told you a little bit about the information about the program, Butterflies. But we're going to go ahead and continue on to our new segment.
You are listening to News Crunch, a new monthly segment on At Home with Victoria. Join TV journalist and news lady Victoria Gaither, along with her smart, witty, and colorful guests as they crunch newsmakers and stories while putting their own spin on issues. Here's Victoria.
Well, here's Victoria, and also one of our guests that's joining us for the News Crunch segment, the one and only Steve Silverman. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Victoria. How are you?
I am super excited. I have been thinking about this literally for 2 days, and I'm so happy that as I kick off the show that you are my first sort of contributor and person who's going to weigh in.
Oh, I'm really honored. Thank you for asking me. Hey, let me just say this really quickly. You know, Shannon, who was just singing in that last song, that's her and her friend, and I can't, if Shannon's listening, I apologize. I can't think of her friend's name, but they kind of did a duet together. So there's actually two voices there.
Yeah.
So
it's
pretty good for 15, I got to say.
I think, yeah, I do. I think so. I think so, too. And like I said, I was even more excited to find out that, you know, to hear that she's going to try out for that because, yeah, I definitely think she's got a chance. And just to go through that process, you know, that's very cool to do.
Yeah, this is probably very scary, too.
I know. I definitely agree with you in being scary. Okay, so there's so many things that's been going on in the news, but I basically just kind of wanted to focus our first News Corner segment on politicians and sex scandals. So first we're going to start off with Congressman Anthony Weiner. Of course, just the name alone, the last name, gives people a lot of chuckles. And still to this date, this time, he still says that he is not going to leave his position. He's not going to resign. So, Steve, do you think that he still has a career as a politician?
I wasn't listening to anything you were saying because I was sexting at the moment. So, it's so funny because I'm an exceptionally open-minded person. I consider myself to be financially conservative, but extremely liberal and open-minded when it comes to life in general. And it's so hard because I think that, you know, we create images of people of how we expect. Like, we think that, like, we're going to find this perfect human being who's going to be in a position of power. And yet any one of us who has had a teacher or if you're in school or perhaps a parent or if you have a job and you have a boss, you know that these people have flaws and every one of us has flaws. And I think so many of these politicians, they go in and they play that they're this perfect person and everything about them is perfect and they're going to make all these changes and they're going to do all these things. And then we find out they are alcoholics, or then we find out they're drug addicts, or then we find out in this case that he is a sex addict, you know, and it's sad in a way, but I don't know, because I don't know that we can find, I don't know. I've said this before. If you go to the dentist who's got his hands in your mouth, and you knew what your dentist was doing with his hands for the rest of the day, that you're not, you know, when he's not putting them in your mouth, you may never want him to ever put his hands in your mouth again, right?
Again, right.
But then how are you going to find that perfect person to be your dentist, and that perfect person to cut your hair, and that perfect person to be around? And I think every one of us has flaws. I'm not condoning his behavior. I think that he is... I've heard so many people's opinions on President Clinton and what happened long time ago with Monica. And I actually, yes, he did deny it at first. And yes, that's another word for that is lying. And I get that, but he did own up to it. And there's a lot of people go ahead.
No, I was going to say your point of view is interesting, because I didn't have time to check today, but a couple of days ago, in fact, I think it was yesterday, you know, all the news organizations had these polls out. So there was one poll that asked, should Congressman Weiner resign as a result of this sexting and the scandal? And I was actually a little bit surprised myself. I think it was like 66% to 65% of the American people said no.
Yeah.
That doesn't have anything to do with his job as a congressman, and if he was doing an effective job, and I believe his area was Rockaway and also Brooklyn, that if he's doing a great job for his constituents, then that really had nothing to do with the whole issue of his private life. And that surprised me, Steve, only because many, many, many years ago in this country, you and I both know, I think Americans held a different view. I mean, we would sort of gasp at something like that and think, oh, my God, are you kidding me? This guy's got to resign. So I don't know if it's that we've become sort of desensitized to this sort of stuff, or we've just come to the realization that, you know, your private life is your private life, and your work is your work life.
I think that's true. I think it comes from a mentality, a morality, and a self-professed or created morality that none of us can seem to agree on, because, you know, where is the line? You know, it depends on who you talk to. I mean, if you talk to my parents, my dad, you know, thinks this guy is, you know, he's immoral, and, you know, but my dad also believes that, you know, and I say this kindly, my dad believes that, you know, a man should come into my sister's life and she should be able to not have to work and take care of her, because he's got a 1950s mentality. And so it's a totally different way of looking at things. And I don't know. I think it would depend on who you ask. And I think it depends on who you ask in what part of the country. I think it depends the age of the person that's being asked. I mean, I know that, I mean, people outside of the United States look at us and how we treat sexuality in general and how the repressedness of it all, it's it's fascinating. You know, we don't allow it in schools. We won't even discuss reproduction in schools. How could you discuss that there? And it's crazy. So.
Yeah, and you know, you do make a good point about sort of sex education in schools, because I remember growing up in D.C. that I want to say we had a sex education class, and it was during physical education, but, you know, you could opt out of it so that, you know, if your parents, you know, they would literally send a note home to your parents and say, hey, you know, I don't know, Monday at 2 o'clock, you know, we're going to have sex education. So for parents who did not want the school system to teach that to their kids, they went to the library or, I don't know, went to study hall. But for parents who were okay with it, so that just sort of brought back memories to me that I remember a time where, you know, you actually had a choice in public schools if your parents wanted you to opt out of it or not.
Yeah, in New Jersey in the 80s when I was in junior high, we started sex education. It was a 9-week course, and instead of having health education in the winter when it was too cold for us to go outside and run around, you know, on the track and play ball and stuff, we'd go and we'd have sex education. And the interesting thing is that about 10 years after, the whole, you know, for whatever reason, the PTA decided to cut that, and they cut all of those classes. And maybe 2.5 years later, there was an outbreak of genital warts, so badly that they had to bring all the parents into a giant meeting, going, you know, and the parents were like, well, what's going on? How did this happen?
Right.
Well, no one was telling them anything in school, and then no one was talking about it at home. They didn't know what they were doing, and one person does one thing, and it spreads, and it's like, we didn't have that problem a few years ago. But,
wow. I mean,
yeah,
I'm sitting here laughing, but I feel bad for laughing. But it's, you know, that point in that story is well taken, because I know, for example, just in my life, a lot of my friends that have kids, they're, you know, kids that are teenagers, and, you know, that sort of question comes up about sexuality and, you know, when is the time that you talk to your kids about sex? And, Steve, what's crazy is that even some of my friends who have kids that are 14, 15, 16, 17 years old, they've never had a conversation with them about sex.
That's
because it makes them, as parents, feel uncomfortable.
That's insane. That's insane.
Yeah.
That's insane. You have to. I mean, I don't have kids. I'm a gay man. I'm married to a gay, you know, unofficially married, because it doesn't count. That is absolutely insane. I spoke to my niece. She was 13, and she got like so red in the face. And I'm like, don't play like you don't know what I'm talking about. And I was very very matter of fact with her and explaining, not getting into complete details, and she kept putting her hands over her ears going, no, stop. And I was laughing, and I said, listen, if I had at your age some uncle or an aunt that I liked who actually was willing to talk to me about stuff, I'm just saying, if you want to talk about anything, I'm here, and please. And I said, you do whatever you want in your life, but if you ever have a question before you need to go and do something, whatever it is, just call me. I won't tell you not to do it. I'll just advise you on what I know. And it's and I hate to lump it into a Republican mentality, because that's what I kind of call it, unfortunately, which is, and not to say that all Republicans are bad and all ways of thinking Republican are bad, but I don't agree with the Republican mentality of no sex education, no birth control. If you get pregnant, you get pregnant, and then the back end of, and we won't help you if you do get pregnant and have a kid. Because then everyone loses. And you know who loses the most? That child that is so important to everybody. That's who's losing the most. I saw
speaking of Republicans, they have certainly this year, I think, also have had their share of sex scandals as well. And as I was kind of, you know, reading different blogs and just sort of trying to get a sense of what people out there are feeling, and there was one young lady who is a Republican herself, and she says, you know, the thing about us Republicans that drive even me crazy is that, you know, we're constantly out there, you know, preaching these sort of values of family and kids, and then you turn around and you've got these, you know, Republican lawmakers and politicians who are out there doing, and as she said, crazier stuff than even what she considers some of the Democrats are doing. And she says, and that, in her point of view, makes it even worse, because if you're out there on the circuit and you're preaching this, you know, don't have sex, we're not going to give you birth control, you know, this is a family and that sort of thing, then she said that whole message there just completely turned her off. So that was interesting coming from a person who was a Republican who, you know, who felt that way.
You know what's also interesting, and it goes back to this this senator and his sex scandal, is that, and I say this also about things that happen in our world, I think there's an immediacy that happens now because of the internet, because of the ability to tweet, the ability to Facebook, the ability to social network, the ability to just, you know, for instance, the giant earthquake that hit Japan and everything that happened and is still happening that we're not hearing about with the nuclear reactors that, you know, they're still trying to cool down, which you don't hear very much about anymore. The immediacy of it all happening, within minutes of it happening, even before it's happening, we know it's happening, and that's halfway across the world, as opposed to other scandals, like if you look back, you know, Watergate and Nixon and how long that all turned, you know, even O.J., how long that all turned out to play itself out. Imagine if O.J. had happened today, and if that neighbor had looked over and then tweeted something, you know what I mean, or someone took a camera picture.
Yeah.
Think of all how things were different. And that's just going back to 1995. We're just going back 15 years ago. The thing that personally bothers me about this way we waste time, as I call it, as Americans, on this stuff, on this senator in particular, is there is a raging fire going on in my home state of Arizona right now. It's bigger than Chicago and New York City put together. And it's getting very little press time. And there's the tornadoes that touched down. There were tornadoes that touched down in Springfield, Massachusetts last week. And that's getting very little press. And all of the things that are getting very little press because, you know, either it's, I'm sorry to say, Will's and Kate's wedding, or this instance of this whatever they're calling this, Wienergate. We're so easily, like, here's a carrot, look over here, when there's all these other things that are going on. And there's also, like, a really lot of good things going on in this world, and how we just focus on all of the bad stuff. It's no different than when I open it up and I look at anybody's, the spin they put on anybody's polls of how anyone's doing, whether it's President Obama or anyone. It's always the negative side of everything.
Yeah, it is. Now, you are definitely right about that. And actually, our third person is on the line, so we're going to go ahead and bring in actor Michael Taylor Gray to join in the conversation. Well, hello, Michael. How are you? Say hi to Steve.
Well, hello, lovely news lady. Hi, Steve.
Hello, Michael. Nice to meet you.
Oh, nice to meet you on this very fine day, talking about weeds and such. Yeah, I think everything has finally come to a head.
Oh,
well, you know,
this is going to be a long show.
I knew it was going to be Steve. I knew it was going to be Michael who was going to make all the jokes, because as soon as I logged on to Facebook, that right after that press conference happened on Monday, Michael Pellegrini had every single little wiener joke that his heart could think of.
Oh no, I don't do little wiener jokes, honey. No little wiener jokes. That's not enough. That's sad. Yeah.
So, Michael, do you think that as of right now, Steve and I were just talking before you joined the conversation, he's still not going to resign. What do you make of this? Do you think he should step down?
You know, it's a personal decision he has to make. You know, he's got to live with himself in terms of his own integrity and what that means in his life. He's got a lot of mess to deal with in terms of his personal life and what this means to his own family. And then now there's talks about his wife is possibly pregnant. So it's just, you know, he's got a lot of stuff to clean up at home. So,
you know,
whether
let me add one quick thing. I'm sorry, Michael, to interrupt you, but let's see the flip side of this. It's nothing new going on here, and people are saying, oh, well, no, who'd reelect him now? Who'd go back? There's a man named John McCain who is a war hero and came home and divorced his wife, who his wife was laying in a hospital bed with cancer. And he divorced her to marry Cindy, and he –
Newt Gingrich did the same thing?
And there's still, you know, Senator McCain
together.
Still keeps getting reelected, you know, and maybe you can look past that. Maybe you don't have, maybe you're, you know, you're the person who can look past it and go, oh, it was this, was that. You know, George W. Bush had a huge cocaine problem and a huge drinking problem. And that was, you know, sort of pushed to the side. And, you know, Ronald Reagan was slowly, with the Alzheimer's that he was slowly setting in, they were seeing it even back then. So its question is like, you know, what is everyone's business? What is not everyone's business?
Right.
Right.
Yeah, and then there are the Kennedys.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So, right? So
that's
it's like,
another
yeah,
whole segment.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, he doesn't stop being a man. He doesn't stop being just plain old-fashioned human. You know, but because he is in the position that he is in, as a representative, I guess we're supposed to hold them up to a different set of standards.
Standard.
Yeah, they keep failing those standards, and at one point did we just shove those standards aside and go, oh, well,
just
they can
the
do
job.
A good job at their
job.
Know,
yeah, go do the job.
Yeah. Well, you know, Steve and I were talking again before you joined the conversation, and I was telling him that it was either yesterday or the day before I actually saw a poll, because you guys know we in the media, whenever something happens, we've got to do like a poll and poll people on this and that. But it actually said, and I was telling Steve, it surprised me a little bit, it was either like 65 or 66% of the American people said that they really don't care about that, and that has nothing to do with his job. So if,
yeah.
in fact, you know, he conducts the business of the people in his district, which is Brooklyn and Rockaway, and I can't think of the other, then they were actually okay with that. And I was telling Steve, that surprised me a little bit because, you know, if you think 10, 15 years ago, I think Americans would think much differently on something like that by saying,
well,
hey,
I
get this guy out of here. So maybe the standards are changing.
I think it all stems back to just how people just got so fatigued from the whole Bill Clinton, the 8 years that he was in office. We all knew that he was a womanizer. That was no surprise to anybody.
Right.
You know, but when he left office in terms of where the country was, in terms of the job he did, whether you liked him or not, we were in pretty good shape.
No, we were in great shape, and he also didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he didn't.
So,
yeah.
You know,
we didn't go to war for no reason.
Exactly. You just have to.
Well, and you know, and you know, history hasn't. I mean, I guess at least in my opinion, when you bring up former President Bill Clinton name, and I haven't been reading all the history books to see what, you know, historians and folks in that business say about him, but I have to say, history, you know, so far for him doesn't seem to judge him harshly on that. I mean, he's even more popular than ever now.
Yeah. It's not. It's not hard to look back at the good old days and go, look at the good old days. You know, here's a question I have that I wanted to ask you guys and what you thought on this. This guy is on Twitter doing this on his own account that anyone can sign on to, that you know that it's his account because he's a senator. This is my senator's account. Is there any thought in terms of, I don't want to say he wanted to get caught, but the excitement of the possibility of getting caught? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do think there is something to that. I would definitely agree with you on that. Sure.
I don't understand that. I don't understand. I mean, if you knew, it's not even a big risk. It's a colossal stupidity. It's just, you know.
Right.
I think at some level, they really just don't care anymore because they see what people are able to get away with. You got Rick Santorum, you know, and all these other litany of these people who've literally just have been found out that we're hiring hookers, you know, and then their dutiful wives are by their sides looking so dour and, you know, and devastated. Yet, you know, they're still in office, and he's even wanting to run for president.
Right.
And
well,
you know, like, speaking of getting away, and you know what? Speaking of getting away with, I really, really want you guys to crunch this because this is something that I have been thinking about, and I don't know many people in LA and in California. So I'm 100% sure that former Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger was really happy that this whole Wienergate happened, right? Because you know it took the news off of him for a quick second. So Steve, you go first, and then Michael, you go second. Was that a big surprise to you guys in California when that story broke about him having this love child?
I don't know. I don't even know. I don't think I gave it two thoughts. I mean, honestly, I never took the guy seriously as our governor. It was such a messed up situation how this whole thing went down, how he became governor, how our former governor was basically pushed out of his position because of a very high up, very rich Republican constituent who wanted him out. The whole made-up energy crisis that didn't happen. They proved it didn't happen. Right. We never stole from Texas and all the crap that they said we did. It was all a big lie and a mess. And then it was interesting because when that first – I mean, Michael, you remember this. When they first went to their debate, and I remember Arianna Huffington at that debate. She was brilliant.
Yes.
And Arnold hadn't made up his mind what he was running as. He was running independent. He said he was independent. He was a moderate independent. He wasn't Republican and he wasn't Democrat. And then the Republicans threw all this money at him, and he went into office. It's all it takes. And look, he did a colossally good job at doing what our former president did, which is just spend every single dime we have in this state, and then walked away and said, "There, I think I'm done." I don't know. I never looked at him as like this great leader. I don't know. What do you think, Michael?
You just captured it all right there. I mean, he was just swept in. It was all about timing, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was all about timing and celebrity. And he was this shiny penny that somehow was going to be, you know, this savior in the moment. And I mean, we are more in debt than ever before. Our educational system is like one of the worst. You know, we're like almost at the bottom in the country, and we have even more runaway production in terms of the entertainment industry. And here he is, an actor in quotes, allowing that to happen.
Yeah, that of anything, I have to say, that was the part I was most shocked about, because he himself, here he is, this giant actor who you think would be, who's so into the entertainment community and knows how much money the entertainment community brings to the state of California. And he went ahead and made it so that everybody left the state to go film elsewhere.
Yeah.
He made it impossible. He made it impossible to film here. And he cost so many people jobs. It's ridiculous. There were stories about him.
And you know, the reason I ask you guys that is because I have to tell you, on the East Coast, when that story broke about him and the love child, I mean, that was huge news for everybody on the East Coast, and even a lot of my friends who are reporters in the Midwest and down South, because all of us were thinking, well, first of all, how in the world was he able to keep that a secret in this day and age with social networking and texting and, you know, all the different shows and cable and internet? How was he able to keep it a secret?
He basically kept her in his house, and then until recently, I understand, he bought her a house. The woman was making something like $120,000, I heard on one report. I don't know if that's accurate or not, to be his nanny and his housekeeper. I mean, not that they, you know, that's good money. I mean, Michael,
Maria,
become
Maria
a nanny.
Maria had to know going into it who he was. You can't, I mean, really? And so I don't know. I mean, like I say, again, that's something so personal between them. Am I surprised by his behavior? No. You know what? Nothing surprises me anymore. There is no surprise in this world anymore.
Right.
It's more surprising when somebody does right. doesn't do the right thing anymore. That's the surprising thing. When somebody hasn't been a philanderer. When somebody hasn't totally gone in and bankrupted the state or something. When somebody actually has gone in there and been like a Bernie Sanders in Vermont and actually is in it for the right reasons.
Right.
And so that, to me, is, you know, that's – so I think people are so burnt out, and there'll be another scandal in 5 minutes from now. And, you know, who knows?
True.
Maybe Anthony Weiner will be able to ride this out and and make it past it. Who knows?
Right.
Well, and, you know, the thing with Arnold Schwarzenegger, like I said, from my point of view, being on the East Coast, like I said, that was like – I mean, that news was so shocking and crazy to people on the East Coast. Like, literally, all of my friends, people who aren't even in the news business, I mean, that's all we were talking about via social networking.
Why was it shocking to you?
Did you see the child? Did you see this?
No.
And I have to tell you, that boy looks just like him.
Yeah, the child. I'll give you that. The child part surprised me because it's kind of like you're not going to be able to hide that forever. That's gonna come out at some point. And
they were born like what? Like a week apart from one of his kids, Maria.
Yeah.
That's just mind-boggling to me.
Yeah.
So I mean, we've been thrust into their personal life. You know,
well, let me just say this, though, Michael, that you don't seem to understand, which is the sanctity of marriage is between a man and a woman and their nanny.
The nanny
and the illegitimate love child. That's sanctity of marriage.
But if that is worth pursuing, I don't know what it is.
Rod and Todd want to get married. No way.
Right. But something I have to tell you guys, something as a woman that I really had a hard time with the Schwarzenegger scandal of wrapping my head around was that here you have this woman who basically, as soon as Maria's dressed and she's out the house taking care of her business as the first lady of California, and here she comes inside and she's in her actual bed.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But, you know, I had a conversation earlier today with a friend of mine in New York, and I was at his wedding in Fire Island. He and his husband have been married for a little over a year now, and not even a year into their marriage, they brought a third person into their relationship. And I was like, about that whole thing. But they've been so upfront about it from the very beginning, and he brought that up to me today. He says, we've always been very clear and very open about who we are. Yet there are people out there like these politicians and these religious leaders who talk about marriages between a man and a woman, like what Steve was just commenting on, and then they pound that into your face and your head, and then they make it their big mantra. Yet then you turn around and you find out that they've been cheating on their spouse and have 800 children out of wedlock and all that, and like yet they want to know all our business and get in our face and tell us we can't do whatever we want. But yet, on the whole, gay community has been very upfront about their sexuality and their sexual, to-dos.
Shirley MacLaine was on Oprah, and she was in an open marriage for over 30 years. And if that's good enough for Shirley MacLaine, that's good enough for the rest of us. No, I'm just, you know what I'm saying?
Right. That's not for everybody,
but
you're open about me exactly. As far as, trying to pretend you're somebody else, and here you are. Just be who you are. Just be a friend. And if Anthony Weiner had just said, yep, that's my dick. That's it. That's me. I did it. That was my account, and that's my representative Weiner. Yes, that's it.
I guess
if he would have said that, we partly wouldn't be having this conversation. Okay,
no.
So we've got to move on to another sex scandal because I have my little list here that I wanted to hear you guys' point of view about. John Edwards. So Edwards is actually under investigation right now by Ethics Committee over using some of his campaign funds to support his mistress, Riel Hunter.
So the
thing with Edwards that really surprised me was that just the whole drama about Elizabeth having cancer and being sick, it's like,
Right. There's two things going on. One, this is an example of now I can actually say, okay, now that to me is not morally wrong. That's ethically wrong, and that's legally wrong. You're taking whatever, I think I read $925,000 of money that people gave to you for your campaign to become their president.
And you understand the majority of that money came from two donors, one of which is literally a 100-year-old woman who loved him, John Edwards, because his hair reminded her of JFK.
Right.
I
don't care. That's wonderful. I don't care if it came from 30 people, 100 people, a billion people.
I know.
But the
point
is,
I mean, all these little aspects to it just make it all like,
Again, this is one of those examples where you sit and go, here's your wife who is dying of cancer.
Who's,
and this is what you're doing with your time. But maybe, I don't know, maybe his wife knew about it. Like, she's not here to tell us.
She swears. Right. You know, I mean, I saw her on Oprah, and, you know, she wrote the book, and she had several interviews before she passed away. And she actually swears that she knew nothing about it, but she did know that Riel was one of the, you know, people that was working with John on the campaign. But I find, right. Steve, you probably can really speak to this because you're a writer-director and you do the web series and you know more about producing and video and camera work. I find it amazing that all the money that he paid her basically went to her making those little videos, those little webinars that she did.
I just really wish he had paid us because, Michael, we could do – think of what I could do with $925,000.
I've got so many outfits that come to mind right away
episodes?
That I could use.
You know how many pretty episodes you guys could do if you had that money?
Michael, why can't you have hair like a Kennedy boy? What's wrong with you?
I'm working on it.
I don't know. You almost want to ask where their head is, bump.
Right.
But I don't know. Listen – I read this whole thing on it. Most sex addicts, most people who look for validation sexually in ways that don't complete them in a positive way,
mm-hmm.
it traces back to family, and it traces back to something that was missing in your immediate family, specifically your parents, that you didn't receive it there. And so you go out looking. It's a validation is what it is. It's not even, you know, these men, these women, whoever it is, it's a validation. It's unlike alcohol, which pushes the problem down, you know, and relieves the problem temporarily, or drugs.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like gambling because it's a validation. It's a win. It's a short feeling of I'm going to win. Okay, now I'm going to win the next one. You know, and you can't apply like an emotion to something was lacking at home with Maria, something was lacking at home with Elizabeth, something was lacking at home with his wife. It's not about that at all. It's about validating something that's missing inside these gentlemen. And it's so fascinating because that's the fascinating part. You look at these strong men, Bill Clinton, John Edwards, Arnold Schwarzenegger, these are strong men. At least they appear to be. But inside, they don't feel that way about themselves. And that's what's really sad. And, you know, you want to talk about having any compassion. That's where the compassion should go to. I mean,
right.
that's how I look at it. And that's how – I mean, I don't know – I don't know how John Edwards thought he was going to get away with that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was always a big fan of his, and I wanted to believe in him so much. And a dear friend of mine, was always very, very suspicious of him. Just had this gut feeling that something was not right about him. And I was like, oh no! And then this happens, and I'm like, oh.
You're like, damn it!
You don't want to believe. I say, who can you have faith in? Who? You know? So maybe all the wives should run instead.
Well, you know, you just said something.
Speaking of wives, I've been thinking a lot about Maria because, you know, she had a very successful career as a national journalist. She worked a lot for NBC News, and she's best friends with Oprah. Of course, Oprah has her own network now. So I kind of think Maria will eventually end up having a show on Oprah's network. I just have that feeling.
I don't doubt it. But I just, you know, I don't know. Yeah, I think, you know, going back to the whole Kennedy thing, I don't know if Arnold Schwarzenegger felt like he had to fulfill some kind of destiny when it comes to that family, and then maybe she thought she was going to be able to escape that, and it's just too bad that she ends up being a part of that whole legacy.
Yeah,
given everything that's happened.
Okay, we've got one other person that I've got to get you guys spin and point of view on News Crunch. Now this guy is kind of interesting because he ended up with a top job that I would love to have for CNN, Elliot Sitzer. Now, this guy was paying call girls, and there he is on CNN News, and he has a show during prime time. How does that happen?
Yeah. This is what pisses me off. This is what – because – and it's a double standard, and you as a woman will have to pipe in on this, is that men are rewarded for their behavior, for that kind of behavior. They're rewarded, literally. continually. So why? Who in the right mind would stop doing that? Yeah, they can screw around. It doesn't matter because people are going to get pissed at him for 5 minutes and go, oh, well, he's a guy.
Yeah.
And then let it go. Of course he got a show. That's how you get a show now. I mean, if you want to get on the news, you know, and you're a pop star, you get out of a limousine with no underwear and show, and give him a shot of your crotch.
Right.
And there you have it. Yeah.
Shave your head and beat a car with a baseball bat, Britney Spears.
Yeah, well, that's my a friend of mine here at work, Rich, always says, like, you know, these people who make these sex tapes, the only reason, like, there's no reason to make a sex tape. The only reason you're making a sex tape is to bring up your career again. But you think about the reality of that, it's ridiculous. It's, but again.
Well, I do kind of feel like in this country, I do, and I have to say, Elliot Spitzer is a perfect example. And I'm sure if I really thought about it, I could probably maybe rattle off about 10 or 15 people. But I do kind of feel that in this country right now, that there's this kind of thing going on. And actually, Taddy inside the chat room just brought up Jersey Shore about people be doing bad and having their own shows. But I do kind of feel like if you do bad in this country, then you get rewarded for it. So somewhere, you know, something happens somewhere within American culture. I just think
define the reward though. I mean, I think that. It's like I was saying earlier when we were talking, it's a momentary reward. It's a momentary popularity. And, yes, there is cash that comes with it, and don't doubt it that they'll spend all of it faster than they can get it in their hands. Look no further than Whitney Houston or anybody else. And and it's a momentary reward when there are teachers out there and there are nurses and doctors and people volunteering.
And filmmakers.
Filmmakers.
Web series creators.
Thank you. And there's all these people out there who are doing good. Look, I'm the first one. Like, I'm the first one who would tell you right now, oh, I can't run for office, and I can give you a list of reasons why. We don't have to do that on the air right now, but I can tell you I can do that. And I'm not stupid enough to be like, no, I've never done that or this or anything, so that – you know, 2 years, you know, into whatever I'm doing, a year, 5 minutes into what I'm doing, somebody comes out and said, oh, yeah, I met him here, or this happened, or that happened. I'll give you the list right now. And I'm smart enough to know. I'll put it out front to you. It's like it's like years ago when Bill Clinton said I didn't inhale. I mean, dude, really? Just I smoked the pot. I let it fluctuate in my mouth, and I spit it out. Really?
Well, I'm doing this show completely in the nude. And I hope I get rewarded for it.
Thank you.
I hope I get rewarded. Thank you. And I hope I get rewarded for it. That's all I'm saying.
We hope you do, too.
should be home soon, so we'll see.
That's going to be your reward when he gets home. But, something you just said that actually clicked with me, though, when you talked about how, there is, you know, in some cases a monetary reward. But actually, if I really think about it, a lot of the reality stars, they really do come and go. They're kind of hot at the moment. And honestly, if one or two of them walked by me at my local Walmart, I would have no idea who they are, seriously.
No, exactly. And here's another thing that I always bring up to people. Go back a long time ago, before the reality boom. Remember when Jenny McCarthy was on MTV? And it was like, remember that summer? I mean, Michael, you were out here with me. There was like a summer. It was as if she was the queen of the world. They even had a Jenny watch in Entertainment Weekly for like every issue of Entertainment Weekly had a Jenny watch. What's Jenny doing now? And what's her scale of popularity now? And they were kind of tongue-in-cheek about it, but she was in TV commercials, and she was doing this, and she had her MTVs, and all this stuff. And then 6 months later, Jenny who? And it was, that's it. And now it's so funny because I remember that point where I was like, I was Jennied out. I was Britney Spears'd out years ago when the big boom of Britney. As I choke, I'm sorry. But I went on the AIDS, choked up about it. But
very
I went on
emotional.
The,
this topic's very emotional.
I went on the AIDS ride. Wait, I'm taking a drink. I went on the AIDS ride, and it was the greatest week of my life because I didn't have to hear anything about Britney Spears, and it was the week that she shaved her damn head. And I was like, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that we don't have any TVs, that I'm not part of this this nonsense nothingness. That's not going to matter. And, like, that's what I always, you know, if I can impart any wisdom to any listener, whatever you do, whatever you're going out to do, just if you make your mark and pay it forward. And here's the lesson in life. And that's this past Saturday, we went, Jim and I were in Palm Springs. We decided to stop at the IHOP because we're classy and get some Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity. And going in, there was a homeless vet outside, younger guy. He had a sign. He fought in the Iraq War, and he just sort of had his head down. And he was sort of mumbling, you know, spare change, spare change, spare change. And we went inside, and when we ordered breakfast, I ordered a lunch for him. And I just said, can you just have that ready for me when we go? And I brought it outside to him, and I walked up to him, and he sort of looked up at me. And I just said, I go, here, I said, it's not even leftovers. I ordered it for you. And he looked at me, and I knew that he wasn't a drug addict, and I knew that he was just a guy who was down and out, because he took it, and he said, oh, gosh, thank you so much. And I said, you're welcome. And I walked away. And that's, to me, not like I'm saving the world. I did my thing for somebody else. And, you know, every time you see somebody on the street, I always think like, oh, God, I want to help them. I want to do something, or especially if it's an animal who I feel are extra helpless. But every time I go to give money, I'm like, oh, I don't want you to spend this on drugs or whatever the hell it is. And I'm like, here's that moment. And we're wasting.
What animals do you know that are spending money on drugs, Steve?
Quite a few. Quite a few.
What animals do you know that are drug addicts? I mean, come on.
Senator Wiener dog.
No, you're right. I think exactly. I think
Senator Wiener's dog.
That's right. It's terrible. It's terrible. All those kibbles and bits. Whatever in those kibbles and bits. It makes sure what you're doing. Make sure at least a portion of what you're doing, the actions that you partake in, resonate in the world in a positive way. Like I think what Steve is saying is really important. That there is a sense of pay it forward, so that we don't. Mm-hmm. Find ourselves mired in these obsessions and things that really just don't matter.
And hopefully, Senator Wiener is doing some things and has done some things that have benefited his community, so that there is there's good that did come out of his time.
You know, just like Michael said, he has because I've been kind of, you know, following this, and they've been interviewing on national news, and I've read a few articles. You know, you go into Brooklyn or Rockaway, and
he's
I
very
can't
popular
think of
in New York.
They,
popular.
They love him there. Yeah.
Yeah. A friend of mine, her mother is like devastated from all this coverage because she's a big supporter of his, and it's just it's a shame that the minutia of this can get in the way of all that, because he's been a real pit bull when it comes to taking the other party to task, and it's a shame that all those efforts are being wasted on all this crap.
New Yorkers have a name for what has happened and what he's done. It's called Friday.
Friday?
Yeah. Yeah. Come
New
Monday,
Yorkers,
they won't care.
New Yorkers, it's like, you know, Michael, it's like us out here in L.A. Yeah. We're like, oh, you, like people are like, oh, you went to a strip club last night? Oh, awesome, great. Oh, great. Oh, you were in a dungeon?
Oh, cool.
Fantastic. Oh, sure, no problem. You were huffing paint? Oh, sure. What kind of paint was it? Glidden? Oh, fantastic. Indoor
nice.
Or outdoor?
Are you okay?
Like,
nice. One coat.
One coat.
Done.
That is too funny. Listen, I kept you guys longer than what I was supposed to. I never like tell people how long I'm going to keep
them.
You. But before both of you go, you've got to let everybody know and catch up on what's going on. So Steve, you go first. Are you going to start filming Pretty? What's going on in your life, in your world?
Oh, my life. We are going back into production of Pretty, including Mr. Gray there on the phone. We will be going back into production this August. In fact, I just sent him production dates the other day, and he wrote me back and said he can make it. So we go back into production this August. We're really excited, and anyone who's listening, we thank you, especially our fans who have helped us and supported us. Along the way, especially anybody who's made a donation, whether you made $5 or more, it's made such a difference. We have raised more than we've ever raised before. And you can check out Pretty at prettytheseries.com, and we highly recommend you do. We're critically acclaimed, award-winning, and we're about to make a very big announcement as to a very big special guest star, but that'll be in the next few weeks.
Ooh. Well, before I move on to Michael to talk about what he is working on, did I see something, Steve, on your Facebook wall, something about you being a writer or contributor to GoManMagazine.com?
I think Michael can jump in. I think it's is it G-Man Magazine?
It's
G-Man,
it's
I'm sorry.
G-Man Magazine, and it's my nephew Christopher Taylor Davis, is he's the editor. He was, speaking of backtracking to Oprah, he was really impressed with the format of her online version of her magazine. So he's creating his own magazine called G-Man Magazine, G meaning gay, but it's not just a very centric gay experience. It should be a kind of a wide swath of experience with some gay themes in there. And so he's pulling together a lot of different contributors, and Steve is giving his very pretty perspective on the world. And I'm doing I'm sort of a foodie critic. I'm giving mine is called Bon Appetit, and I'm giving little comedic takes on everything to do bone, B-O-N-E, Bon Appetit. Yeah. So because I mean I'm not Paula Deen, I'm not Rachel Ray, I'm not your top chef, but I do have feelings about food and some comedic
and
takes
want
on that.
You to
so
express
that's
them.
Yeah. I'm going to.
And we want you to express those feelings. So
Thank you. So
now that you guys have just told me about the new online magazine, you know this is going to be a monthly segment, so I'm looking for all different contributors myself. So I think it would be wonderful if you guys can hook me up with your cousin, and maybe he can be on and sort of be a guest and weigh in and then talk about his magazine.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. No, Christopher would love that. He's a very ambitious young man, and I'm very proud of him. He makes me a very proud uncle.
Oh, you're going to cry.
Absolutely.
Don't cry. Oh.
A little bit. Well, that's why I wear waterproof so it doesn't run.
Well, Steve and Michael, thank you so much for joining me on my first News Crunch. I think both of you did a wonderful job. And, of course, depending on your schedules, because I know you guys have real jobs and you're busy, but you'll have to come back and crunch some more news with us. But I think, you know, we got through a lot today. We did, four or five politicians. So we got through a lot. I'm very happy.
Thank you for having us, and I'd be happy to come back anytime. You know that.
All right, darling.
I love being had by you.
Okay.
Always a joy. Yes, I love being had
All
by
right.
Victoria.
Thank you so much. And everybody, that was Steve Silverman. He is the director, he's the creator, he's the producer of Pretty, the web series, so you can Google Pretty and make sure you take a look at that. And also, I neglected to mention, he also works for Fox Broadcasting out there in L.A., so I was so happy that he was able to be one of the first to be on the show with me. And then the crazy, crazy, crazy actor, Michael Telegray, you can also find him on Pretty. And, you know, something I didn't ask him, but I think he's still on the line, so let me see. Hey, Michael, are you still there?
I can't let go of you.
I know. Listen, I forgot to ask you, and I have it in my notes. Did I see or hear something about you being a design assistant? You've got to tell us what that's about. I do have time for you to chat about that.
Oh, yeah. You know, I left a job that had been working in an internet company for about 10 years and just needed a nice shift in life, just to kind of take another turn, and got a job working for a designer, an interior designer. His name is Randall Krim, and the website is jrcdesignsinc.com. Very talented. He's been in the business about close to 30 years. Does anything from high-end homes to yachts to retail spaces. And as an actor, I mean, this gives me an opportunity to explore sort of a different area of creativity that I've never experienced before, but I've always been kind of interested in. So I help him. I'm his assistant. I help him with all the inner workings of the office, but I also am able to work with the clients and the vendors. And when he has an installation, when everything's coming together and they got to put everything in place, I'm able to be part of that process too and contribute in that respect. So, you know, it just
that's very
it's
cool.
Are you liking that?
Are you liking that so far?
I am very, very much. I mean, like I said, it takes there's a lot of invoices and POs and purchase orders and estimates and all the things that so many steps that go along the way. But when everything comes together and then you're able, everything gets delivered and you're able to lay it all out and put all the artwork out and put the new furniture in, put everything in place, it's just wonderful to see. It's like Extreme Home Makeover, you know, in that sense. I've always been fascinated with the before and afters. And to see a place just totally transform and see the client come in and just like, wow, be so bowled
over.
That's
a great feeling. That is a great feeling. It's kind of like getting that instant feedback right away that you just feel so happy.
Absolutely. So, yeah, this is, it's wonderful, and we have a lot of fun. You know, he interviewed me, and within 5 minutes, we were talking like sailors to one another, so I knew that it was going to be a good thing, and he hired me on the spot.
That's awesome. Congratulations
yeah.
on that. I had that in my notes, so I'm glad that you didn't hang up right away. Well, listen, darling,
Michael
thank you for
Kay,
being
who does
on,
his research.
And I'm sure you will be back on again soon. Kind of like once you're on the show, it's kind of like, oh, hat, I always have you back on, so we'll talk to you again soon.
I adore you, and I cannot thank you enough
so
much for your support, and I think you're fantastic.
Thank you. I think so, too. Oh, are you trying to make me cry? Are you trying to be Oprah or Barbara Walters and make me cry?
That's right. What kind of twee would you be if you were a twee?
I don't know what kind of guy that would be. Goodbye, crazy man. Everyone, that was Michael Taylor Gray, who was just acting crazy. But he's like that anyway. So, listen, if you want to hear more about him and even be his friend, he's on Facebook. You can find him on my wall or just type in his name, and he will come up. And I will tell you something else about him, too, is that he's got a pretty good body on him. Yeah, this guy really takes care of himself. So that's all I'm going to say about that. I'll just let you check him out and his pictures on Facebook, and then you'll be emailing me because you'll say, hey, news lady, I knew exactly what it was that you were talking about. And I want to thank everybody who was inside the chat room visiting for our first News Crunch show. Of course, Michael Kay, Mar, Taddy was there, and also we've got some guests who were listening. So I want to thank you so much. And again, this is going to be a segment that will be monthly, may end up being 2 or 3 times a month. I will keep you informed and let you know. And I do want to send an apology out to Tareen Lynch. She's the founder and CEO of Enchanty Women. Somehow we miscommunicated with each other, and that's why she wasn't with us at the top of the hour. But again, you can check out her website, Enchanty Women Foundation. Just Google it. And she was coming on today to talk about a youth program called Butterflies. So I'm going to try to reschedule with her and have her back on so that she can, you know, come back on and talk about what it is that he was interested in talking about. So, again, I want to thank so much Steve and Michael for being my first contributors on News Crunch, and I want to thank you so much for listening. Our next show is next week, and I have the opportunity to speak with a D.C. detective. He's also a producer and an author. He's working on his second book. Mitch Credo is going to join us to talk about all the things that he is working on. And also, Mitch has a new web reality show that he's in the process of shooting right now, so I'm looking forward to talking to Mitch about that. He's a very, very smart man and well-known in Washington, D.C. with the Metropolitan Police Department, but he just does so much work for the community. So Mitch is going to be in, I believe it's either next Wednesday or Thursday at 8 o'clock, so I'll also give you more information about that. So with that said, I want to say good night, and thank you so much for joining us on News Crunch, and I am Victoria Gaither.
Join TV journalist and news lady Victoria Gaither on At Home with Victoria on the Blog Talk Radio Network weekly at 8 p.m. Plus, download the show as a free podcast on iTunes.